Good afternoon, Tucson at 12:02. I'm Ray Allen at AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This news update is provided by Tucson News Now. Well, still no new talks scheduled between SunTran officials and Teamsters union workers as negotiations continue. Some have suggested raising fares. In the last 5 years, bus fares have increased 3 times. SunTran officials said that 52% of their riders are eligible for low-income fares. This often includes the elderly, disabled, and those on a fixed income. Tucson City Council members have said that in the last few weeks, their offices have heard many who are hurting from the strike. The strike is also hurting local businesses who are having trouble hiring those who depend on the bus for job interviews. And only 1 week into the new school year, and University of Arizona has already seen its first armed robbery of the year. Police say 2 women were robbed while walking near Vine and Lester early Sunday morning. UAPD says the incident happened around 1:45 as 2 female students were confronted by an unidentified man who pulled up next to them and asked if they needed a ride. The women reportedly declined. For added protection, emergency blue light phones are located across campus, giving students direct access to UAPD. Officers say they're still investigating the incident and the students are okay. If you have any info, call 911 or 88-CRIME. And a 4-year-old boy has been discharged in stable condition after a rattlesnake bit him at a Marana Park Friday morning. The boy was able to go home on Saturday night. Tucson weather. It's about 92, 93 degrees now in Tucson. We have a 50% chance of thunderstorms for our Monday afternoon, 30% chance tonight, 98 the afternoon high. Coming up next, it's the Buckmaster Show at AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, along with producer Ray Allen. Bill is on vacation the entire week, chasing the northern lights at Prince Albert National Park in northern Saskatchewan. Today is Monday, August 31st, 2015, and we have a great show for you today. Bill is here live each weekday from noon to 1 p.m. on KVOI AM 1030 The Voice. We live stream the show at KVOI.com, and you can get podcasts and archives of all the Buckmaster shows at buckmastershow.com. You can also find the show on Facebook. Just type in Bill Buckmaster and you're there. Bill updates the page throughout the week, and he's already posting vacation updates from Canada. In fact, he did a little reporting on his way up to Calgary, telling us that he saw this eerie red glow from the forest fires in northern Idaho as he flew over. The Buckmaster Show's media partners are TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Lifestyle, the Green Valley News, and the Sahuarita Sun, and you'll find links to the show on their homepages. We always get the week started with the Monday political face-off, featuring the key issues on the political scene, and then at half past the hour, we're going to be talking to Terry Lubson, who is with Rotary International, about their microcredit program in Sonora, Mexico. Let's move right into our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Let Moe help you out with your project. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on Facebook and at moesgallery.com. We welcome to the show Bruce Ash, a Republican National Committee member for Arizona, and we expect to be joined soon by Paul Eckerstrom, former chair of the state and county Democrats. Till then, Bruce, it's just you and me.
Paul, if you're listening and you're on the way here, don't go too fast. I know you can probably get out of most any ticket that you get. But you know,
not
working,
worth it.
Working, but it's not worth it. Okay, yeah. Just take your time. We'll save time for you.
And if you'd like to join the discussion, you can call the KVOI live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Well, welcome, Bruce.
Thanks. Great to be here. glad Bill's having a great time on vacation. Sounds like it's going to be terrific. At least he's going to be out of the heat and the humidity for a week or 10 days or so. That sounds good for him.
He is, and he needed the break, and I'm going to be here Monday and Friday. He's got a couple other people filling in for him, and so hopefully he can rest easy and, like you say, just stay out of the heat a little bit.
Well, he knows he's got Monday and Friday taken care of anyway.
Yeah, we got to roll with the punches. Us print people don't do that very well, but we're gonna try.
Yeah,
so
it's all good.
Well, let's talk about the primary election in Tucson. We have three council seats and the mayor's job coming before the voters, but no competition, of course, in the primary. But the turnout actually wasn't that bad. I guess it depends on how you look at it. It was roughly 14.5%. Normally, it's not quite that high. Does this say anything? Mean anything?
No, I don't think very much. People probably are getting a little more used to all mail voting, but there obviously wasn't anybody on the ballot, so there wasn't much to really get too excited about. I think there is going to be a fairly good turnout for the general election. I think there'll be a lot of Republicans and independents who show up for the vote. I think they recognize that there's a lot at risk here in the city of Tucson.
Okay, so 14.5%, we're touting that as good. It's abysmal, let's admit it, but you think that for the general we're going to be in much better shape?
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's a lot of people who feel that there's much at risk in the city of Tucson. Quite a bit of discontent, whether it be with roads or police or you know, the bus strike that's going on right now. There's lots of different issues that affect folks. And I think there will be a pretty good turnout. And my guess is that if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, this is a lot like it was for Republicans in 2006 when our numbers were very, very, very much depressed because people weren't that crazy about what was going on at the White House.
Okay, and as promised, we have been joined by Paul Eckerstrom, former chair for state and county Democrats. Welcome.
Yep. Hey.
Good to have you here.
Yep.
We're talking about the city elections. Revitalize Tucson, a group that's led by Republicans Christine Bowserman and Frank Antonori, has spent quite a lot of money on the race so far. Are they going to be a factor here?
Well, if they're just going to spend money on billboards criticizing the city council for not paving the roads when the billboard is right over a brand new paved road, I mean, I don't think they're going to have a big impact. Okay. I mean, you know, that type of criticism falls flat when all over town we're seeing the roads being repaved based on the bond election that we all passed with the city council support and referred it to the ballot because we needed to pave the roads, and they're being paved. And so if you're going to criticize the city council for potholes, I think that that falls a little flat. Now, maybe that's the case in the county, but they have a bond election coming too that's important. So things are going a lot better in Tucson these days. You know, the downtown revitalization has been doing great. Businesses are popping up there. The downtown is very doing really well. You've got the repaving of the roads. I think Jonathan Rothschild's done a yeoman's job as mayor, along with the council, making moves on economic development to help bring better paying jobs to this town. All of that is, you know, as much as Bruce wants to be critical, I think it's the most positive city council we've had in years, and I think, people probably generally feel that way, that things are going in the right direction. I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem for the Democrats that are running. Granted, there's some good candidates the Republicans have fielded. Granted, they're going to try to put money in through, like, IE groups like Frank Antonori's, and my understanding, the state Republican Party is going to throw a bunch of money at this thing from Phoenix. And, if they do that, if they're going to put money in from Phoenix, then, you know, people in Tucson react badly to that. They really do. Phoenix, we don't like Phoenix. And if Phoenix is going to try to run our campaigns and our elections down here, then I think there'll be a backlash against the Republican candidates.
Okay, Bruce, can a Republican get elected in Tucson this year?
Yes, and let me first agree with one thing that Paul said. I think Mayor Rothschild, you described him as doing a yeoman's job. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty accurate. I think, though, that Mayor Rothschild is very, very disappointed with the leadership that he finds within his own party and the lack of initiative in a bunch of different areas. And you can paint a picture, if you will, Paul, about how vibrant downtown is. If you're living in Shirley Scott's ward or Paul Cunningham's ward, you can't talk about too many things that have happened positive for those folks, because there still are a lot of bad roads in those two wards. There still is a real problem with a police presence. We're down nearly 40% from what a town our size ought to be. People have to get a card sent to them, a postcard, in order to report a traffic accident, because oftentimes you can't get a cop to respond to a regular violation. But Dan, I think that there is a good possibility of a Republican winning, and it's because a lot of people are dissatisfied. Notwithstanding the Democratic Party line that you just heard from Paul a second ago, they're upset. They want to know why it was necessary to float a $100 million bond. We all voted for it, but we want to know why that was necessary when the city had received her funds from the state legislature. They want to blame the state legislature for not fully funding. But the problem is that the city of Tucson used most of those HERF funds for general budget, and there were things other than fixing streets and repairing streets for all this period of time.
Well, look, it's no secret that the state legislature has been sweeping those HERF funds from both the county and the city and other counties and cities all over the state to pay for their budget deficits and pay for tax cuts for really wealthy people. And the plain fact of the matter is we went through a huge, horrible recession where our sales tax revenues dropped because people weren't buying things, and that's what the city depends on. And the fact is that this is the way you do roads, is with bond elections and we voted for it. And, you know,
to criticize
this city council for deficiencies for past city councils, I think is ridiculous, especially since we're moving in the right direction, both on the roads. And, you know, out in Ward 2 and 4, their roads are going to get fixed too. That's part of this bond. I mean,
if you live in Shirley or Paul's ward, not much to be proud of.
You know work is being done, because when you drive around this town, you're always dealing with barriers and road construction, and that's what's going on. We're repaving our roads. That's a good thing.
There are no Republicans who serve on the city council. And let's take this business with the bus strike, or last winter with the squatters who invaded and occupied downtown. This city council did nothing in the Occupy movement last year. A federal judge roundly criticized them, and rightfully criticized them, for doing nothing and not taking the responsibilities on that they ought to have done. And now with the bus strike, there is absolutely no reason why the city council can't direct the Department of Transportation to order their vendor to operate in a fair and consistent way in order to effect a settlement of this transit strike. For a party, for individuals who say that they're for the little guy, for the working class guy. Paul, you and I remember walking around when we were kids here in Tucson growing up. I don't think you would want to be walking 2 miles to work in 100-degree heat, like a lot of people have to do these days, with this bus strike that's going now for almost a month. This is awful stuff.
Okay, this is going to be a good time to take a break, but Paul, we're going to give you a shot at answering this. Is the bus strike really a political issue? This is the Monday Political Face-Off with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes.
Arizona Stadium to experience the thrill of the 2015 Arizona football season. Be there for the big hits, miracle catches, and game-winning field goals. Be there as your Wildcats make history and march towards a Pac-12 championship. Be there to create priceless memories with family, friends, and fellow fans.
The home opener is Thursday, September 3rd versus UTSA. Tickets start at $12 for adults and $7 for kids. Call 621-CATS or visit arizonawildcats.com/UTSA.
Five-star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five-star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will, your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call 5-STAR. That's 5-STAR, 886-0045, and 5starTermite.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where we are in the middle of our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and on Facebook at moesgallery.com. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. We are with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, and as always, if you'd like to join the discussion, you can call the KVOI live line at 790-2040. And Paul, Bruce seems to suggest that at least in part we can blame the bus strike on politics.
I don't know. Look, the team. This is between the Teamsters Union and SunTran, which most people don't understand. SunTran is a private entity that, as Bruce mentioned, is a vendor to the city, and so the city doesn't have the city council has no control over the negotiations that are going on between the Teamsters and SunTran. And I do understand that most of the people that are riding the bus, who are poor, need that transportation desperately, especially to get to and from work if they have work. And I think it's a horrible situation. I'm also interested, it's kind of interesting that Bruce was seems to be taking the side of the union on this one, that it needs to settle for something fair to the union, because he's been a union basher every time I've been in here. So I'm a little surprised by that. But this is really between the union and the people who, the private company that runs SunTran. And, I don't like the fact that the bus drivers are still out. I don't think anybody likes the fact, and I'm sure the city council doesn't, but they don't really have any control in the negotiations at this point. It's really up to between the Teamsters and SunTran. And SunTran's a private vendor. They're not controlled by the city council. They just contract with them to do the bus service. Now, at some point, maybe the city council in the future, when the contract's up, gets rid of SunTran and does something else and maybe takes over the bus transportation system on their own again. I don't know if that's going to happen, that's the only control they have at this point.
Maybe they're not literally controlled, but Bruce, you're just saying a little well-placed pressure could probably get this done quicker.
Yeah, Paul, Dan, I disagree with Paul. Paul, these people are acting like onlookers. They're not onlookers. They control the transit system here in this town. Whether they vend this thing out to a separate organization makes absolutely no difference. Don't try to twist my words. I'm not a person who bashes all unions. And what I said here is a fair and equitable resolution to this strike. You know, one of the things that the city council is culpable for with respect to transit is they've artificially tried to keep fares super, super low, and they've given tons and tons of subsidies, raising the eligibility in most cases in order to do that. Now, the cost of transportation is a costly thing, and it's going up all the time. Perhaps if the city council wasn't pushed around by Brian Flagg and this thing called the Bus Riders Union, that union I do bash just a little bit because they want to keep everything artificially low for their benefit, perhaps we wouldn't be in the fix that we're in. This city council had a chance about 4 or 5 months ago to eliminate the need for having this labor stoppage, but they did nothing. And you certainly can't claim that the city council had no rights to control sidewalks and public areas in downtown the way they failed to do last winter. This is a group of onlookers who just simply isn't doing their job. They're good people. They mean well. They're just not doing the job, Paul.
Well, I don't know what you want, if the union should get everything they're asking for, because that sounds like what you're doing.
And I'm
all for that, the problem here is the city council doesn't have any control right now over these negotiations, and to try to make it a political issue for the
you don't want it to be a political issue, but it is. They've made it one.
No, they haven't made it one. I mean, come on.
It's a 30-day-year-old strike, Paul. It's political.
SunTran is management. Teamsters are the union. They're the ones negotiating. The city council can't inject themselves into that.
That's baloney, and you know it.
Okay, let's move on to state politics. Bruce, take us behind the scenes just a little bit. Earlier this summer, Governor Ducey put forth a plan to fund public schools that would involve tapping state land trust dollars. Not long after, State Treasurer Jeff DeWitt, also a Republican, blasted that plan out of the water, saying it was going to hurt students down the road. How common is it for a member of the governor's own party to unload like that on the governor, especially one who's in his first year? And will Jeff DeWitt pay a price for this?
Well, it is unusual. And Jeff is an ambitious man. He is a smart fellow. He's taken a political calculation that this is a fight that he takes on and can win. Probably the common wisdom is probably wasn't the guy to pick a fight with, and probably in the long run, he's going to lose this battle. The governor has got us on a track to more fully fund education. I think that's what we're all looking for. Jeff is playing the long game, but in the long game, as long as we can continue to build our economy and create more tax dollars, there's no reason at all to expect why we shouldn't be able to create the tax dollars required to properly fund our schools. And I go back to something that Paul and I have discussed a lot. Paul and I both are interested in better education. We differ with respect to how those dollars are being spent and the manner in which the districts are being run.
Okay. Hey, Paul, Senator John McCain announced his campaign team over the weekend. He faces opposition in the primary and the general elections next year. He's also going to turn 80 years old the day before next year's GOP primary. Mm-hmm. Is he going to have a rough go of it?
It's hard to say. I mean, look, I think he'll be attacked from the right during his primary. I don't know how serious it's going to be. Bruce would probably know better. But just by having to do that, he's going to have to probably say things and do things that take him out of the more middle-of-the-road voters in Arizona, the like I like to call them just right-of-center voters in Arizona. And I think Ann Kirkpatrick, who's a very good candidate, and she was a congresswoman, and she's, I thought, ran a great campaign in the last election to get reelected. And she's from, you know, Flagstaff, and she grew up in Apache County, so she understands rural, the rural parts of the state. I think Ann Kirkpatrick can give him a real run for his money. A lot of it depends on how dissatisfied the voters are in Arizona with John McCain. He's been around a long time. He's made some, I think, pretty outlandish statements on foreign policy recently, basically saying that President Obama hasn't taken care of, should have funded the rebels in Syria and give them arms when a lot of those folks were ISIS. And he was actually photographed with some of the leadership a few years later, he finds out, were actually the leaders of ISIS, and arming them really wasn't a good idea. And so, you know, John McCain's a little bit out of touch these days compared to what he used to be. And I have a feeling because of his age, that's part of it. And because of his age, he may very well be vulnerable this time.
Bruce, do you think age is going to be a factor in the race next year?
Well, Senator McCain aged in dog years while he served in the Hanoi Hilton. I met with him back in March, and I can tell you, I first met John back in 1986, I think. He is nearly as sharp today as what he was almost 30 years ago, and he has incredible, incredible strength for a guy his age, or any age, and he began this fight. He knew he would have a challenger, and he was prepared for the battle, unlike, you know, guys like Dick Lugar in Indiana, who kind of never saw it coming at him. John is aware of the threat, both on the Republican as well as the Democrat side. And I'm confident he has what it takes to win this election and serve out his term.
Okay. Again, over the weekend, Florida Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who heads up the Democratic National Committee, mm-hmm. said that all the GOP candidates for president are interchangeable. She said, you know, basically, which would I assume she means she doesn't think any of them stand out. Paul, would you agree with that? They all looking the same?
No, I disagree with that. Okay. I'll tell you who I'm scared of if he gets the nomination is John Kasich. Okay. I think he's got a kind of compassionate conservative bent to him that could very well win a general election. And, you know, there's a couple other folks that I think are a little bit more rational. Mark Rubio is one of them. And I think if they get nominated, the Democrats are going to have a really tough race. Any of the others, though, you know, and frankly, Jeb Bush, too. And I've been really surprised what's happened on the Republican side. And I guess I'm starting to understand there's this backlash in the country towards the political elite, that are tied to the Wall Street elite and the very wealthy in this country, because they're basically bought and sold, I think, because they have to take so much money to get elected. That there's this move towards people like Ben Carson and Donald Trump, people, even Carly Fiorina, that aren't tied to elected office. And, you know, I think if they nominate a Ben Carson or a Donald Trump, the Republicans aren't going to win. But, you know, the same thing's going on in the Democratic side. I think Hillary Clinton is kind of getting that backlash as well. And there's the Bernie Sanders out there who are benefiting from it, because they're saying that they're going to be fighting for the middle class and against the wealthy interests, and aren't taking money from the big wealthy interests. So, you know, there's dynamics going out in the presidential race right now that's very interesting, and people should take a look at it very closely. I think if you're a establishment type of candidate, you got to start talking more like somebody who is like what Bernie Sanders is saying, or even Donald Trump. Maybe not as vitriolic as Donald Trump does it, but if you're gonna win, you're gonna have to connect with those people.
Okay, very good. And we should point out that there was an Iowa poll out over the weekend, and it indicated that Hillary Clinton has lost about a third of her support since May. Very interesting. That is going to have to do it for this week's Monday Political Face-Off. I'd like to thank Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Always interesting. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Terry Lubson, who will tell us about Rotary International's microcredit program in Sonora, Mexico. We will be right back after the break.
Thanks, Tam.
Thanks.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill. We are joined on the phone now by Terry Lubson, who oversees Rotary International's microcredit program in Sonora, Mexico. Terry, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Dan. Good afternoon.
Good to have you on the line, and you are up in the Phoenix area, is that correct?
I live in Sun Lakes, yes, the retirement community for us old folks.
There you go, right near Chandler, I believe, isn't it?
The south of Chandler, that's correct.
Yeah, well, we are glad we're not in the Phoenix area for lots of reasons, but we know that some people have to live there. I hope you enjoy it. Before we get into microcredit, let's give people a quick overview of Rotary International and what it does.
Yeah, thank you. Good. Rotary International is a service organization. Many people have heard of it, but really don't know what it's all about. We basically, there's 1.2 million of us in the world. Here in Arizona, there's about 6,000 Rotarians in three different districts. We basically provide service to people who need it. We do lots of different international as well as local projects for people in need, schools, various organizations. Our motto is service above self, and all work we do is voluntary.
Well, you know, we have a couple of strong Rotary groups in the Green Valley area where I'm from, and I think we all learned something earlier this year when we had the earthquakes in Nepal that Rotary does a lot more than just connect business people with each other and, you know, student exchange and the things that we know more about, but they were actually quite active in helping with relief efforts in Nepal, and I think that that surprised some people. We just didn't know Rotary was so so broad in scope.
Yeah, Rotary partners with an organization called Shelterbox out of England, and at various times of the year, and that's not Nepal, but in the Philippines when they had their typhoon several years ago, various other calamities, the Shelterbox activities go on. Shelterbox is a tent with a living area for about six or seven people with utensils and water purification and various means to keep them alive and with some shelter for up to a year. It's a temporary, but it's one of the Rotary projects, as well as working with the local Rotary clubs in the disaster areas to provide meals and other relief.
Right, and we had several groups actually come together, and we were able to send over quite a few of those shelter boxes. So it was a terrific effort. But let's turn our attention here to the microcredit program, and let's define our terms. What is microcredit? Is it a loan? What exactly is going on here?
Okay, well, that's a good point. Microcredit is low interest loans that we provide to people who are either in a small business or want to start a small business. Our program here in Arizona started about 4 years ago in Nogales. We have money there that's being currently used, as well as last year we put a grant in Hermosillo, and we have another grant in Hermosillo coming up this year. Microcredit provides these borrowers with no collateral loans, small loans, $200, $300, $400. All the people that we deal with are people either that have a small enterprise, tortilla makers selling food on the street, used clothing, various types of small enterprises, and helps them establish themselves and provide income for them, for their family.
Yeah, I think people will be surprised. So we're talking really, really small loans, $200, $300, $400, like you said. How many loans in the 4 years have you given out?
Well, in the Hermosillo area right now, we're active. We have about 390 loans that we've given out, total of about 3 million pesos so far. In Nogales, over the last 4 years, the loan amounts around 600 different businesses. And the average loan amount, like you said, is only a couple hundred dollars.
And so are we talking about interest-bearing loans then? When they repay them, they're giving you a little bit more back. Is that accurate?
That's correct. There is interest on the program. The interest, what we do is we provide a loan for, say, $400. We put the interest on top of that. We slice it into weekly payments, and they make several hundred pesos every week type payments. So the payments are small, manageable, but our interest is competitive to what they can get anywhere else. In fact, in many cases, most of these people, because they have no collateral, they can't get money from a bank locally.
And you've talked about some of the businesses that are being financed. Is there anybody who comes alongside them for business advice, or are these people who pretty much have a decent business plan going, they just need a little bit of financial assistance?
Well, the crux of microcredit lending is group borrowing, and let me explain what that means. You just don't walk into the financial company that we work with and say, I want a loan. You have to be invited into a group. The group consists of anywhere between 4 and 10 borrowers, and most of these people know each other. They live in the same neighborhoods. They go to the same school, same churches possibly. And if you're invited into a group, the group as well as the individual signs the note for the loan. The loans are distributed by a leader within the group and are paid every week by each individual borrower.
Okay.
So group loans are the key to success in the project, because if somebody gets ill or can't make a weekly payment, the group helps them out because they know them, and they keep the interest, they keep the payments going. That's why our collection rate is over 98%.
Okay, we are talking with Terry Lubson, who oversees Rotary International's microcredit program in Sonora, Mexico. So get back to that then, Terry. Payback rates over 98%.
That's correct. That's current payback rates for both the Nogales and the Hermosillo program.
That's incredible. That's an incredible rate.
The key to that is group borrowing, and it allows us to loan the money out. They're 6-month loans. When the loans are paid, the money's loaned again. About 60% of our borrowers reborrow, and again, most of this money is used as working capital for a small business. They buy their supplies and they sell it. Most of our businesses have profit margins 80 to 100%. So they're profitable business, but they just need a chance to establish themselves.
Are you ever helping get a business launched from the ground?
Some of the borrowers that come into the groups are new borrowers, are new businesses. Typically, let's say there's 6 people in a group, there may be one person just starting. The rest of them are established. Now, the MFI, microfinance institution that we work with, one of the things they do is they talk to the people, they advise them, they make sure that the person has a good business plan, that what they're selling in the area is not oversaturated. There isn't 10 people in the same neighborhood selling tacos or selling types of foods. So they make sure that the business will be viable. And the follow-up from the MFI, microfinance institution, is the key to success. We want our borrowers to be successful. 2 reasons. We want them to pay back, number one. And number two, this is although this is a for-profit, there is a humanitarian aspect to it.
And are we talking just the Arizona Rotary Clubs that are out there doing this?
Well, the microcredit program, microcredit started about 25, 30 years ago in Bangladesh with Mohammed Yunus, and it's spread around the world. Now, our programs are supported by the three Rotary districts in Arizona. There's one in northern central, the central group, and then down south in Pinal and Yuma counties. We also get donations for our program from people in Canada and other countries. When they come here, a lot of times in the wintertime, they see the program, they go back to their club, and their club donates. Most of our donations are $200 to $300 per individual. Some clubs give $500, $600, or $1,000, and that's how we gather our funds. The other key to Rotary is Rotary International and the foundation that was established back in 1948, which helps fund some of these projects. So if I give $100 as an individual to the project, Rotary International gives me another $50. So they match 50%.
Okay, and then again, roughly between Hermosillo and Nogales, you've got about 1,000 loans out. Is that accurate?
That's a good number. That's correct.
Okay. We are with Terry Lubson, who helps oversee Rotary International's microcredit program in Sonora, Mexico. We are going to take a quick break and finish up the hour with him. We'll be right back.
Arizona Stadium to experience the thrill of the 2015 Arizona football season. Be there for the big hits, miracle catches, and game-winning field goals. Be there as your Wildcats make history and march towards a Pac-12 championship. Be there to create priceless memories with family, friends, and fellow fans.
The home opener is Thursday, September 3rd versus UTSA. Tickets start at $12 for adults and $7 for kids. Call 621-CATS or visit ArizonaWildcats.com/UTSA.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, noon to one, each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. And we're always on BuckmasterShow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, and we're with Terry Lubson, who helps oversee Rotary International's microcredit program. So we're talking about small, very small, loans to business owners in Sonora, Mexico. And Terry, off the air, we had a phone call from somebody who wanted that breakdown. And now you said roughly you've got 1,000 loans out. And as I recall, it was 400 in Hermosillo and 600 in Nogales. Is that accurate?
Over the last years, yes, correct.
Okay. And then roughly how much do you have wrapped up in all this dollar-wise?
Well, in Hermosillo right now we have 100,000 plus another 83 we'll be putting in this year. And in Nogales we've got about $200,000.
Okay. And how did something like this become a priority with Rotary?
Well, Rotary has six avenues of service. There are six avenues of focus: promoting peace, fighting disease, providing clean water, serving mothers and children, supporting education and economic community growth. And this microcredit program fits into the growing economics of the poor areas within the world. Our district, 5510, which is up in the Maricopa County and northeast part of Arizona, has been doing this in conjunction with the other two districts for the last 4 years. It became a priority because people recognize that people in Mexico are poor, and many of them just need a chance to succeed. It benefits us here because Mexican immigration directly impacts our economy. Many of our borrowers, if you talk to them, say they want to stay in Mexico. They just need an opportunity to advance, and the education system and the economics within, especially the northern part of the country, the Sonoran area, is very limited for economic opportunity.
And is that why at this point it is limited to Sonora? Is that accurate?
That's correct. Our reach is just in Sonora. Now, microcredit lending itself is big in the agricultural south through other programs, but our Rotary program strictly looks at the state of Sonora. Right now, we're in Nogales and Hermosillo. We're looking at the possibility of Santa Ana, Magdalena, Agua Prieta, as we expand over the next few years.
Okay, and it's interesting that you touch on the benefits to us here, and let's just lay it out on the table. Frankly, fewer people probably coming over the border illegally because they, as you point out, want to stay in their country. This gives them an opportunity to be successful economically.
That's correct. You know, even a husband and wife where the husband works in a foundry-type operation or some other factory makes maybe $10, $12 a day. That's the standard of living there. You can't support a family of three or four on that. A mother staying at home making tortillas or some other cottage enterprise can earn as much or maybe twice as much as her husband does selling these products. So it helps them put their children to school. You know, school in Mexico is not free. You got to buy books and tuition, and you got to pay for transportation. Many of our borrowers live outside the major city where transportation is not very good. So and what they're called colonia area or squatters areas. So many of the poor borrowers use the money they earn to get their children to school, help support their standard of living. How does it affect us? You're right. If the husband or the older sons are not coming across illegally, they're staying at home and working and helping the family. It's very difficult for a family to split up emotionally as well as safety. There's safety issues in Mexico when there's no male in the family. That's our benefit.
You've done a good job explaining exactly what this money goes toward, but can you give us a very specific success story that you've seen down there?
Oh, there's many, many. We have one lady who lives in Nogales. She has a visa. She comes across to the United States. She goes to L.A., she buys handbags wholesale, takes them back, puts different decorations and other things on hand. There's a Nogales selling these handbags. So not only is she generating income, but she's helping other 10 other people. We have a baker in Nogales that we just expanded his enterprise. We loaned him about $1,500 to buy a new oven. He employs two full-time people, and he has other people seasonally that he employs during the heavy Christmas and other holiday areas. So not only are these people generating their own income, they're actually helping boost the general economy. Some people are satisfied just to live month to month and sell used clothing and make $200 or $300 a month. That's all they want to do. So if that's all they want, that's all that cares.
Okay, then if people are interested in this, just finding out more information, where can they contact you or where can they go online to find out more information on this?
We have a website. The website is www.rotarymicrocreditmexico.org. One word.
Okay.
And the email they can reach me at, my name is Terry Lubson. is info@rotarymicrocreditmexico.org. So they can look at the website. They can see what we've been doing. There's a little video on there that kind of explains how the program works, and they can send an email, and I'll be glad to answer any questions they have. Any contributions that anyone sends is filtered through a 501(c) here. So they can be, it is a tax-deductible donation because it is a nonprofit. And I would be more than willing, if people in would like to hear about the projects, different churches or businesses or whatever, to come and talk to their organization.
Terrific. And I know you're down this area every once in a while, and you could do this. So we're talking no government support, no government involvement in this on either side of the border. Is that accurate?
That's correct. This is strictly free enterprise.
Okay. And if I support it, and I know my money can be spent specifically on this project.
100% of your funds that you contribute, well, that's our guarantee to our contributors.
My guess is that
they're loaned people, 100%.
Sure. My guess is that some folks down here in Tucson are going to be interested in helping out, but may not be interested in joining Rotary. Is that at all a possibility?
That's definitely open. We have many people who are not Rotarians who contribute. In fact, we do have visits to the projects three or four times a year, and we will be putting that on the website as soon as we finalize the schedule. The visits to Hermosillo are overnight, and the microfinance institution we work with pays for it. So they just bus down to Hermosillo, have dinner, visit the borrowers, and bus back. In Nogales, we usually, it's just a one-day trip. So people can see how their money is affecting other people.
Okay.
Contribution help.
And you guys, these are tours. Anybody can sign up for these types of things, or are these for donors?
Typically for donors or people who are looking at possibly becoming donors.
Okay, very good. So we are with Terry Lubson. He is overseeing Rotary International's microcredit program in Sonora in this area. And one more time, Terry, I want to give people an opportunity to contact you if they'd like. Give us the website and your email again.
The website is www.rotary, R-O-T-A-R-Y, microcredit, microcredit, Mexico, Mexico, .org. And the email they can reach me at is info@rotarymicrocreditmexico.org.
Okay, Terry Lubson, thank you very much. Fascinating program, and what a practical application. Terrific.
And thank you for the opportunity to talk to your listeners.
Okay. Thank you for joining us today. We want to remind you that bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for year-round residential and commercial water needs. I will be back in this chair on Friday. We'll be talking about journalism. We'll be joined by David Coulier, director of the School of Journalism at the University of Arizona. Thanks again for being with us, and here's hoping that you have a great rest of your day.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.